What is up, everybody? How are you doing today? My name is Michael. This is John.
What's going on?
We're the Fantasy Tap. We are super excited to be here for episode one of our podcast.
Uno. You ready to start?
I think I'm ready. I don't know. My heart's pounding a little bit. Is yours?
It's all right. Yeah, just a little bit, but that's what these drinks are for.
Yeah, calm us down a little bit. If you didn't see our introduction, we are a fantasy football podcast. We also, at the end of each show, we'll talk about our beer of the day, which is today is Golden Monkey by Victory Brewing. We'll be talking about that more a little bit later. But we're here to give you the best fantasy football advice, have fun doing it, and hopefully introduce you to some beers and hopefully find someone you like.
Yeah, this one's so far so good.
I enjoy it. It's very good. Got a little banana hint to it. I see why they call it
Golden Monkey.
Yeah, Golden Monkey. Huh? Yeah.
This also has a really good can design. Very tranquil. Yeah. Very zen-like.
Very. Anyways, to give you a little rundown real quick, though, for now, I know a lot of you have probably heard of Victory Brewing and Golden Monkey. So while COVID-19 is going on, we're going to be doing bigger craft brews, you could say, something that you can find close to you, close to where you're at. And then after that, we're going to be taking recommendations. Hopefully it's soon, you know, once that's all up. But then we'll be, you know, hitting the smaller craft brews are all across the country. That's our goal, at least. We'd love to have your input as well. You can DM us at the Fantasy Tap on Instagram or Twitter. You can also email us your recommendations at thefantasytap@gmail, gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing from you guys on the beers we should be trying.
Yeah, absolutely. And even while we're doing these larger brews, if you guys have anything that you're really interested in or something that you find that, you know, when you go out, that's very good for you, send it to us. We'll try to find it locally near us and try to get a review out for you soon.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we have a packed show for you today. We thought we'd get it going with draft strategy. You know, how are you going to win your draft and use that towards getting those championships? When we do talk about this draft strategy, it may change if you're doing a two quarterback or a super flex league. The type of leagues that we'll mainly be talking about, or that we'll be talking about today, are going to be your typical one quarterback leagues, half point PPR, one tight end, things like that, one defense. No kickers.
Kickers are.
I was a kicker in high school, but kickers.
Glad to make that dig.
But we might as well jump right into it. The first draft strategy that we're going to be talking about, which is personally one of my favorites. I do this pretty much every time I draft. There's a few scenarios where I switch it up. But the late round quarterback, I think that is, you stack up on the most talent at the front end of the draft and get your quarterback later. You know, there's a ton of valuable quarterbacks, whether you stream quarterbacks. But there's a ton of valuable quarterbacks later on. You stack up your wide receiver and running back positions.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, you grab that late quarterback. You have a full roster weekly. John, what are your thoughts on
that? Yeah, so the late QB is awesome because along with doing the late quarterback strategy, you're also going to be able to hit one of the other two strategies that we're going to be going over today. And it opens you up for a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people only draft one quarterback in the draft and then will pick someone up off the waivers after the draft. So, with only up to 15 quarterbacks being taken in the draft itself with a couple people taken too, there's still a lot of talent on the board and a lot of people that will have a breakout year or could just be enough to make your team competitive on the quarterback's position alone. You'll be able to pick up a quarterback 8 through 12, possibly undrafted. But if you can pick up that quarterback in your 9th, 10th, 11th round, you're going to have studs throughout your receivers and your running backs and hopefully a stud tight end too.
Yeah. Everything John said is true. The point differential between the 24th ranked quarterback last year, Gardner Minshew, and the 12th ranked quarterback, Carson Wentz, he was so the last QB one, he put up 275 points in a 4-point touchdown league, and the 24th ranked quarterback put up 229. There's a pretty big gap there, but there are values out there that can make up for that and get you those. You know, they can put out those weeks. There were weeks that Gardner Minshew had that, you know, could push you to a win. So let's talk about a couple of our favorite late round quarterbacks. John, you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first quarterback that I'm looking at this year, that I'm going to be able to pick up hopefully around, you know, the eighth round. Right now he's going ADP number 99, and that's going to be Daniel Jones. You know, quarterbacks in fantasy football, receivers, every position rather than a tight end, you see have a breakout year in their second season after they, especially after they've had a heavy workload in their first season. They've finally start getting comfortable with their offense. And something that Daniel Jones had to suffer with last year was all of his main receiving guys were out for, you know, multiple games at a time. You know, Shepard only played 10, Slayton only played 11, and Barkley only played 13 games last season. So with his 13 starts last year, he went 284 for 3,027 yards with 24 touchdowns. He did suffer heavily from a lot of fumbles, but the Giants did address that this offseason and the draft, taking an offensive tackle at number 4.
The best one in the draft.
I know. I'm a little upset the Dolphins didn't get him.
Yeah, I know.
I was really hoping he'd drop. But of course, and so I think he's primed for a big year. And if you can pick him up in, you know, mid to late eighth round, ninth round, you have a lot of potential to load up on your studs.
Yeah, I like, and he, like John was saying, a lot of his weapons were injured last year. Evan Engram, Darius Slayton, Saquon, all of them. And they're, I mean, if they can stay healthy that and that offensive line can protect him, I could see him being a, I mean, personally, my projection is a high-end quarterback too, which when you're getting him that late, I mean, that's a bargain.
No, I actually have him somewhere at like a low-end one. Ooh, I mean, I think possibility. But he's absolutely primed to be able to put up a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say that's hard to do in the NFL, but for a fantasy perspective, a number 12 quarterback's really – almost as good as the 15. It's only a small point differential at that point. Yep. And so it only takes a couple more touchdowns. And with him getting back into that slot as the designated starter this season, not working behind Eli, getting his 16 games, he's going to produce. He has opportunity, and there's so many weapons on that offense.
I completely agree. And now, if you don't mind, John.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear who you got.
I got Matt Stafford. John and I got in a pretty heated text argument the other day when I brought Matt Stafford up. I have since then converted him into a Stafford believer. Currently, he is ADP 111, so around the beginning of that ninth round. He's the 14th quarterback going off the board. I love him. If you watch his tape, he can make any throw that any other quarterback can make. You know,
he's average.
Huh?
You said he can make any throw any quarterback can make, so he can do anything everyone else can do.
You know what I'm saying. He can make Aaron Rodgers-esque throws. Great quarterback, super underrated. Last year, in his 8 games, he threw 19 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. For 2,499 yards. I mean, that's great. Let's hear it.
How many games did he play last season? Starting eight games. So you're saying that? Do you believe that would have carried over for another 8 games throughout the season?
No.
I mean, because those numbers right there are way higher than anything he's ever produced in his entire career on an average.
See, he's only not thrown for. I don't think he would have gotten 5,000 yards, but I definitely think that he would have gotten, you know, close to it, 4,800, 4,700. Kenny Golladay is really coming into his own, and you've got the addition, or the second year, I guess, of TJ Hockenson, which, as we know, tight ends, they get better as they progress, or as the years come on, it kind of takes him a while, but he was a freak athlete coming out of college. So I really think that he has the opportunity to take that next step to give Matt Stafford another big target. Also, Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola are still on the team. Danny Amendola gives him a solid target to throw to, on those slants and short routes. And then Marvin Jones, of course, averaging about 12.6 a reception last year. So those middle of the field receptions, I mean, I think he's primed. He's got the weapons around him, similar to Daniel Jones, and they added DeAndre Swift. He's a great pass catching back.
He's a great pass catching back. He's
great back probably, all around.
Probably one of the best pass catching backs out of the draft this year. But my only problem with that is they still have Kerryon. As much as they shied away from him last year, he was coming off of a heavy injury. You have DeAndre Swift. They definitely have an opportunity to go a little more pass or run heavy than they have been without those two running backs, without Swift being there. And I'm not saying that Matt Stafford's going to be a terrible quarterback this year. Don't take him. Don't pick him up. He's not going to do anything. I'm just not so heavy on the hype train where, you know, I'm not saying he's a league winner.
What, you don't think so? What do you think his ceiling is? And folks, we haven't completed our projections yet. We'll have those coming within hopefully the next week and a half.
Realistically, I see his ceiling being a top best opportunity, top five to top eight, and that's him having one of the best seasons of his career.
I don't know, because he's finished top seven four times in his career.
One of.
I don't know, man.
One of. Yeah. That, huh? You said top four, top seven. I said top five to eight.
You said that's his ceiling, though.
Yeah, I believe his ceiling this season's not better than a top five.
I don't know. I just see with Kenny Golladay progressing and TJ Hockenson getting better. My only concern, one of my biggest concerns, though, is that right side of the line. They did lose Graham Gasclau. But they did add, I don't even know how to pronounce his first name, but I'm just the right tackle, Vitae. He did put up his best year last year at PFF graded him at 72.6 on the season, I believe, which, I mean, that's pretty respectable. And they also added one of my favorite offensive line talents from this draft, Jonah Jackson out of Ohio State. Not because he's from Ohio, maybe a little bit because he's from Ohio State, but he's a big dude, and I think he's going to be a great NFL talent. And I think he will have some learning curves, which may, hurt Matt Stafford a little bit this year. And I don't know if Vitae had, just one of those years where he played great and was consistent, but hopefully, Jonah Jackson can carry what he did in college, and Vitae can carry over what he did last year. John, do you want to get to your second
quarterback? My second quarterback that I think you can take super late in the draft, and this is someone that's a little bit even later than Daniel Jones and Matt Stafford are going. Comeback season for Big Ben. He's going in the late 10th, 11th, even undrafted in some drafts. And this man's, never finished under he's been top three quarterback last season, or the last season he played fully, which was the last year AB was with him, the breakout season of Juju. Mm-hmm. He only played two games last year, only got a couple snaps in on that second game.
Not big bid.
the season loser for some people, though. A lot of people are counting him out and saying that the Steelers actually need to start moving on and start looking towards the future and their quarterback.
Can't ever count Ben out.
He's on that older end.
Older end? He's like 37. That's old. Tom Brady.
I was going to say, he's not, what about Breeze?
Huh?
What about Breeze? Breeze is only,
Yeah, but look at Breeze's stature, physical, right. We were thinking, he's a big boy. That's a lot.
So even then, He has never finished under a top 12 quarterback a year that he's played 16 games. And even on playing 14 games, he's never even been a top less than a top 18.
I'm not going against it. I like Big Ben this year.
Okay.
But I got to give you a little pushback because you hated on my Matt Stafford.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
Oh, no, I'm saying.
All right. But no, Big Ben is primed for a big year. They had the addition of Eric Ebron this year. James Conner's been putting on weight this offseason.
Yeah, boy, getting jacked.
He's about to run some people over. And something that I remember from last season was...
I'm almost there.
You getting that James Conner build? Yeah. In the gut? So...
Hey, we'll get there.
So last year, something that Christian McCaffrey did was put on a bunch of muscle in the offseason, and he worked his butt off. Austin Eckler does it every year, and not saying that's the determination... That's going to say that he's going to be Christian McCaffrey level, but I do see him working harder this season and continuing to be a valuable fantasy asset, especially with the addition of Big Ben. The whole offense is just going to be more primed and ready to roll. They're going to have more offensive plays, more downs, and more opportunity for everyone on the team. And I think Big Ben, it'll use someone you can pick up 11th, 12th round.
What's his ADP?
His ADP right now is 131, which puts him at the 10.11.
Very nice. Very nice. So he's fallen below that.
Very, very possible that he could go undrafted, but if you can lock him up in the last pick of your draft, you've spent 10-plus picks on studs or players at their best value, and you're going to end up with a solid team and a quarterback that's almost, I don't want to say a lock, but almost a guarantee for quarterback one.
Book it.
Absolutely. Both my quarterbacks, quarterback one.
Put all your chips in there.
Call Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. Don't listen to John. No, I'm just kidding. He's quite knowledgeable. I will get, so may I go?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I have no Big Ben. I mean, because that was a good one. I do like Big Ben late. I guess with this pick, I'm going more consistency. Jimmy Garoppolo. Playboy-esque, like...
He's the man.
Yeah.
He's not a better-looking guy in the
GQ. Yeah. I mean, I'd say I'm just a tad bit better-looking. Just a tad.
Are you in the league, though?
I mean, no, but...
Split one of those game checks?
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, my second quarterback's Jimmy G, ADP of 130. You can get him right behind, or right in front of Big Ben. That 10-11. So Jimmy G's going around that 10-10 spot.
We'll see where the finish
is. He is the 18th quarterback off the board. Last year, he finishes QB 14. He had the fourth highest percentage of completed passes. Obviously, San Francisco is not a pass-first team. But he had every quarterback that's attempted more than 70 passes last year, he had a 69.1 percentage completion percentage, which is amazing. You know, he's also getting Trent Taylor, which last year was set to have a blow up year before he broke his foot. It was said that in training camp, Trent Taylor was being targeted more the most out of any receiver. So, you know, I could say something towards Trent Taylor. We'll get to him in a few episodes when we're doing our divisional breakdowns. But he also gets Jalen Hurd back, which I think he's a really interesting player this year. Drafted as a running back, kind of moving to that wide receiver position. Going to play at the slot a little bit, kind of like Trent Taylor. I might be a little battle there. But obviously, everybody knows Debo broke his foot. R. When is he coming back? Huh?
RIP his foot.
Yeah, well, Trent Taylor had the same injury last year, and he unfortunately missed the entire season. However,
he came back and?
Well, he had a setback, but he did it a little closer to season, and I believe he did it like the end of August or some middle of August. So Debo is hopefully coming back week one. I think he'll miss the first one or two games. Because that is a pretty high re-injury risk. Excuse me. But when you grab Jimmy that late, you know, it gives you the chance to stream quarterbacks. You know, he's not gonna. I think, you know, maybe on his best year, a low end wide receiver one, but high end wide receiver two, or I'm sorry, quarterback one.
I was going to say.
Yeah, like, wow. No,
he's stepping out the wide out.
He can do it all. Oh. He throws it to himself.
Get yards. That might push him up to the quarterback too.
Yeah, I mean.
If he goes out there and catches some passes.
Throw it, boom. Especially in a PPR league, 150 targets. Sorry. Anyways, I think he'll be a potentially a low end QB one, but high end to mid QB two, kind of like he finished last year. And I mean, I haven't projected to throw 27 touchdowns. So I think that with the addition of Brandon Ayuk, and of course, you can't forget the great George Kittle. I think he's primed to have a great a solid season.
Especially when that defense gets you the ball back so much, and they're not on the field as much, and your offense has more opportunities, points.
Yeah. Are they going back to the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree. They're not.
I mean, the NFC is such a question mark that it'd be nice. It's believable, but I don't believe so. I think, honestly, I see a huge year for Drew Brees.
John's starting his own betting podcast, so.
Keep an eye out.
It's called Lose It All.
Big risk, big reward.
Big risk, lose it all. Anyways, let's move on to our next draft strategy, and that is zero RB. One of my personal least favorites.
Really?
I hate it.
Is there a reason?
Yeah, because it sucks. No, when I draft a team, I like to have a solid number one running back. I'm talking top six to top eight. Running back, I know I can rely on and count on. Obviously, injuries plague, you know, and that you got to take that into account, you know, throughout the season. But I like to have that secured number one running back because it's easier to find wide receivers to fill in.
Absolutely,
and you can pick the receivers up off the waivers. So when I'm doing a zero RB, which is very rare. It's when I'm drafting in that, 1.7, maybe 1.6 down to the 1.9, 1.10 area that, you know, especially if I'm in that 1.7, then I'll really consider it. If Michael Thomas drops to me, when Michael Thomas drops to me, I'll grab Michael Thomas.
You'll grab Michael Thomas over, you know, the RB8.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he's getting, 170 targets, 180 targets,
I mean, he had a record-breaking season last year. But yeah.
So, I mean, even if you shave, like, 20 targets off, he's still getting over 160 targets.
No, he's a baller. I mean, he's going to do good. I don't like the zero RB strategy either. I still wouldn't take an RB or Michael Thomas at the mid round of the first.
In a half PPR?
No, maybe a full PPR. But half PPR, I don't think so.
I don't know. See, I, and this is why. And if I'm doing zero RB, I'm taking Michael Thomas, and then I'm hoping. I was doing a mock draft earlier today, and Julio fell to me. So I mean, think about it. You can have your wide receiver one and two as potentially the wide receiver one and two, you know, or one and three, and you can't beat that. When you're doing these drafts. Like, you know, it's important to break them down into tiers. The reason why you're doing these type of draft strategies is in order to get similar positions in the same tier is how I look at it.
Yeah, you're absolutely looking to load up on two to three wide receiver ones in a zero RB strategy. That way you have, you have three players averaging about 20 points a game on the receiver column. Hopefully you found some studs at RB that slipped through, and now you've got the best team in the league.
Especially
if you go and follow the late QB strategy, you know, you're obviously not taking a quarterback in these first few rounds with a zero RB, and then you're not going to fall all the way to the eighth round with your receivers. So you're going to be taking a quarterback late. So it's good to know
who you are. See, I think I differ there. When I'm doing a zero RB, I'll take two receivers or so, depending on who's there at my third and fourth pick. I'll take a quarterback or a tight end. I typically stray away from tight end there because I'm not too high on Mark Andrews. I'm not too high on Zach Ertz, and those are the guys who are there. I'd rather wait a couple rounds and grab a Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. But I'll grab like a Dak or, you know, Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson in that, you know, fourth round-ish, where, you know.
See, I just feel like, you know, you're following pretty low. You're falling pretty low on the receiver tiers by the fifth round. And, you know, by taking you, I just don't see Dak Prescott being more valuable than getting that receiver that could have, the wide receiver two that could have fallen to you in the fourth round that's sitting there when.
Yeah, but you already went, you know, at least for me, I went wide receiver one, wide receiver two right there. And if I'm getting two high end wide receivers, like for instance, Don't take Julio. If I got Michael Thomas or even Devontae Adams mm-hmm. and Kenny Galladay,
yeah,
you know, that's solid. My wide receivers are going to be, you know, stacked. I can grab another receiver. At that point, I'm kind of flexible on what I do, depending on who drops to me at that third pick. If, you know, if you're playing in a league where people don't value the tight end as much, and which it's hard and very rare, but if a George Kittle, you know, drops, then I can, it gives me the flexibility to take that tight end and that quarterback at you know, higher than I normally would.
Yeah. I personally feel like if you're taking that hit at, you're giving up the opportunity to have a good running back or have a stud RB, you need to take that opportunity to fill in the gaps and load up with a few people that have the potential to be that breakout candidate that's going to be that wide receiver, the running back two that you're picking up in the sixth round, in the mm-hmm. seventh round. And then, as we've kind of noted, there's a handful of quarterbacks and streaming. If you're loading up on stud receivers, you know, never draft to trade. Never draft someone with the intentions of, I'm going to flip this guy and hopefully get.
Yeah, because it never works.
It never works out. You end up hurting yourself and you gave up an opportunity to take someone that you could have used. But by having those stud receivers, it gives you opportunities to make trades, to add one of these lesser valuable running backs towards your receiver and end up with possibly a stud running back. And now you're two stud receivers, one stud running back.
Yeah, but
a breakout.
I feel like that's not the point of going zero RB though. I feel like the whole point of zero RB is to find those deep running backs. Mm-hmm. That have the upside or the potential to become a high-end running back two, maybe a low-end one. Yeah. For instance, if I just to talk about one, Alexander Madison. You know, if I'm going zero RB, I'm going for Alexander Madison.
Oh, absolutely.
Because at this point. Yeah, because of Dalvin Cook's injury history, and when he's on the field, I mean, he's a great running back. If Cook wasn't there, you know, he'd be a potential running back one. In fantasy football. I mean, he's great. Or if he's on another team. But, you know, definitely one I go after. Another one I'll go after, which he's not a sexy pick. Not a sexy pick whatsoever. Later in the rounds is, and it kind of hurts me to say it, but he's not a bad running back, is Jordan Howard. I know. Yeah. That's the face I made.
Yeah, so the only problem with that is we don't know exactly what Miami's going to be doing with that running back group that they've haven't even had in camp yet. And they don't know. I mean, they say Jordan Howard is going to be the starter, but we don't know if Matt Breida is going to be getting more touches in the red zone, who's going to be doing what kind of
Jordan Howard, Matt Breida is the change of pace back in Miami. Matt Breida can do it all. Mm-hmm. And I like Matt Breida too. But I think that Jordan Howard has put up how many thousand yard seasons?
Two out of four.
I mean, last year he wasn't really given an opportunity, and plus he only
wasn't given an opportunity.
Huh?
He wasn't given an opportunity.
Yeah, because he was with Philadelphia. Philadelphia screws all their running backs, which is why I'm scared of Miles Sanders.
I was gonna say Miles. Oh.
Yeah.
I was gonna say him and Miles Sanders splitting the backfield. And Miles Sanders didn't even get favored too much. He got a majority of the load until the end of the season.
He only started four games.
Exactly, because they didn't need him after that because he's trash.
He's trash. Okay, he was 65 yards away from another 1,000-yard season in 2018. Jordan Howard has been screwed his entire fantasy.
No, Or Jordan Howard was the product of a situation.
Huh?
Jordan Howard was a product of a situation.
I don't know, man. Yeah, exactly.
And he's not in that situation again.
Screwed him over.
He's not in that situation again, especially with the Miami running back situation. Miami's running backs haven't been great. The last good Miami running back I can think of was, and I know you want me to say Reggie Bush here, but the last good, okay.
No, there was a few after him.
That were good.
In Miami? J.H.I.?
He was okay.
He was good.
He was good. I was saying great. Like, Reggie Bush, and I mean, really, realistically, I was thinking all the way back to Ricky Williams.
Run, Ricky.
But so someone that you can pick up in this late RB strategy, though, that is rather interesting. And I mean, depending on when you decide to start picking your running back, some people do it in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, whatever some people consider. You have people like someone we'll be talking about later, Ronald Jones in there. Ronald Jones right now is going at the 109th pick.
Yep. He was on my list as well.
Put you in the eighth, ninth round. Maybe pick him up in the 10th, depending on how he falls.
He's on that James Conner diet.
Yeah, absolutely. He's balling. He's going to be doing good. But, you know, there are a handful of running backs still. You still have both of New England's running backs available that late. I know you don't want to be happy about it. But, I mean, if you look at James White's reception totals every season, he's guaranteed some points almost. I'm not saying obviously the zero running back strategy, you're not going with someone that's going to be winning your running back's not winning your league, but your running back, you need someone that's going to have that floor.
Yeah. And I don't see it as James White. He is a headache. Do you have him in any leagues?
No, I don't.
I have him in one and I hate it. He's a great player. And Obviously if Belichick would give him more opportunity, then, you know, he's just a headache when you own him. But I mean, I could see that, you know. Another one to counter Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, high upside. He could potentially, I'm not saying he's gonna take over that number one role, but when you're at that, you know, in that later round and you're wanting to find somebody who could be the standalone back, all it takes, and you can't predict injuries, but all it takes is an injury. Or, I mean, Bruce Arians is known for, you messed up, boom, you're off the field. Which, it scares me because Keyshawn Vaughn is a rookie.
I was going to say, he did that to Ronald Jones a lot more when he was a rookie than he did last season.
Exactly, and he hates Ronald Jones.
I don't know if he hates Ronald Jones.
I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, let me see here. I have Ronald Jones at 100, projected at 184 attempts, just under or just over 800 yards, and I have Keyshawn Vaughn at 167 attempts at 685 yards. I do have Ronald Jones getting three more touchdowns than Keyshawn Vaughn, so at eight. So I mean, at that position, in those later rounds, I definitely think he could be a good pick. And kind of vice versa, like I said, the injury thing. Something happens to Keyshawn Vaughn. If he's not performing, then Rojo could be the number one running back on that team. But, John, you got anything else to add to that? Any other late round? We kind of talked up on the...
I think we got a handful of good ones that people can go with for right now. We handled, you know, someone to look forward to. If you definitely need a running back late that you just need possible high upside, look for Madison. That's the most reasonable person right now that you could have faith in that has a great opportunity for an RB1 role if Dalvin Cook either gets injured or their contract situation doesn't work out and he actually does hold out for the season.
Yep. There's another one that I am looking at that is super late. I believe, let me see, his ADP. I'll get to his ADP in a second, but Antonio Gibson, I think that he could be the team's starting running back.
It's possible.
With Darius Geis's injury history.
It's the offense that he's in.
Yeah, it's not great, but if he's a starting running back, I mean, it's another starting running back.
I mean, if he's the worst starting running back in the league, he's the 32nd running back in the league.
See, I don't know, but ADP 156, and he's running back 54 off the board.
He has, you know, definitely someone you can look forward to at the end of the draft. You know,
I mean, it's a very low risk pick.
It's a low risk and low possibility, but, you know.
Could potentially.
Shoot for the stars.
I mean, look at Terry McLaurin last year. I know he's not a running back.
But Terry McLaurin had a little bit more opportunity last year than Antonio Gibson does this year.
We don't know that. John's going to cut me off here soon. This 9.5 is
getting to you already. Actually, no, I think what we need to do is we need to move on to our next strategy. And to counter our first zero running back strategy, we're actually going to go in for a heavy running back, three running back strategy. And personally, I like to use this when I have an early pick.
Oh, he's stealing it from me. Steal it. No, you can steal it.
I like someone when I have it early. You get that first 1 through 5 running back. 1 through 4 running back, depending. Wait a few. You're still getting a top 12 back, top 10 back at your second pick. And obviously, if you...
Can I interrupt you real quick? Okay. I agree with John. When I'm in the first 4 to 5 picks, 5 maybe, and then also the last 2.
Yeah, the turn. 2 to 3. The turn's great because you can see who's coming up behind them.
Right. Like I said earlier, like we were saying earlier, is the tiers. If you can get 2 running backs in the same tier in your first 2 picks or in your second 2 picks, if you're, you know, plus the stud Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott with your first pick, I mean, game over.
Yeah. And the main drive for this is last year that there was 5 running backs that finished before the wide receiver 1. Total points. And there was 14 running backs that finished before the wide receiver 5. So you have enough people right there to go through the first round and 2 extra players before someone that's going to be worse than the fifth receiver that you're going to find. So you have a whole round of studs, and everyone else is going to be grabbing
their receivers.
Yeah. And by the time you get to your second pick, if you're early, a quarterback, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be gone possibly, or Lamar. Maybe Kelce or Kittle at that point, you might end up with the, you know, I did a mock earlier, and when I was early, I ended up with Dalvin Cook, Kenyon Drake, and Fournette. And that's Fournette as my running back 3.
You like Fournette?
High upside possibility, medium risk.
Yeah.
He can be someone good. He's in a situation that can make him good. And I was picking up at the beginning of the 3rd.
There you go. Yeah, that's good. I think the Jags are going to beat the brakes off of him this year.
Yeah, because they're going to run him into the dirt.
I mean, absolutely. And he's a great player. I mean, coming out of college, obviously he was like, you know, touted to be one of the best running backs of all time. I mean, look at his highlight tape. But I definitely think that he is going to be another have a great year, and I think they're going to use him. Unfortunately, and abuse him. I'm hoping he finds a home next year and gets his money because he deserves it. I'm more of a players guy, and I kind of think that Jags did him a little dirty, but we won't get into that too much. Another guy I'm looking in that 3rd round, if I'm picking first, I did a mock draft earlier, and I was at the 3rd position, and it's very unlikely.
Huh? Get a good baller.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very unlikely that Christian McCaffrey drops this far to 3, which is crazy to say, but he fell to me in this mock draft. Even if he didn't, I'm getting either, you know, Saquon, Alvin, Zeke. I'm not taking Dalvin that high personally, but I'm getting one of those, you know, 4. At the 2-10, I got Austin Eckler, which I like a lot. Absolutely. And then at the 3-3, I got Todd Gurley. I love Todd Gurley this year.
Yeah, drafting from the 6 earlier, I got Chubb, Eckler, and Gurley.
Yeah, we think alike. No, I think Todd Gurley's primed to have a great year. I think they're signing him to a 1-year deal, similar to what we were saying about Leonard Fournette, where they're just going to use him and use him and use him. I think that's what they're going to do with Gurley, and he's only a year removed from being the number one running back, and then before that, the number one running back.
And as you look, they before the season last year, everyone kind of talked about them throttling his snap count and, you know, limiting his usage. It was a little overhyped at the point. he definitely did have less carries than he's used to, and they did definitely take him off the field, but it wasn't as bad as people projected it to be.
Yeah, he still finishes the running back 14.
Yeah, and so now you're going into a new system where the Falcons need that running back. They have Ito Smith back there who's right, not doing much. He's going to be sitting the bench and watching Gurley run up and down the field. Gurley's going to be scoring touchdowns for the Falcons, and I think he's playing for his contract because he knows he's going up on that free agency soon, so he's got to be able to be marketable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely think he'll find a home this year. This, if we're talking a little bit of dynasty right now, I think this is his last usable or high-end usable year. Personally, I actually traded for him in one league. I tried not to spend too much, and I got him. But I believe that, you know, he's not only can he run the ball, but he's a great pass-catching back. And the Falcons, I mean, they've thrown over 600 times, I think, every year up until 2017, and then before that, almost every year as well. I mean, they love to throw the ball with Matt Ryan. So I think he's going to benefit from that and catching the ball as well as, you know, getting those rushing touchdowns or touches.
Yeah, absolutely. I see him being someone that's going third, fourth round that you can grab and is possibly might even be your RB1. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he has that opportunity to be top five running back.
Yep. Yep. And like I was saying earlier, you know, other side, if I'm picking late at the turn, I had a draft where I got Mixon and Eckler, which I think they're in the same tier. I think Mixon has a really high ceiling. I think potentially he could be a top five, you know, running back this year. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Yeah,
I'm interested. He's kind of still up in the air for me. I think the addition of Joe Burrow makes everyone believe that he's going to, you know, as rookie quarterbacks come in, they rely on their running backs and tight ends more and short dump routes, build that confidence. But I think Burrow's coming in from a season where he just broke NFL records for passing yards. College records for passing yards. I see him coming in here ready to sling it a little bit, possibly try to break some records as a rookie. I see him coming in with a big ego, and as much as Mixon might benefit from the dump passes to your running backs or even the short routes to the running backs, I don't think they're going to fall back into that run-first offense as much as people would like them to like to expect.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think he can handle it. I mean, if they do, and Zach Taylor knows that.
And it's all opportunity. I see him getting catches. I see him getting his touches. He's going to be an RB1 this season.
Yeah.
Going to be an RB1 this season.
Book it.
Do not book it. Pending injury.
Yeah.
Pending injury or something crazy. He has the skill set and he's going to get the opportunities to be that low-end RB1. But low-end RB1.
Low-end. I mean, 12.
I mean, what's a low-end
RB1? I mean, he finished 13th last year. Yeah. He's going to do a lot better than that.
I don't think so. I think he's going to have a good season. He's going to be a good running back.
I'm interested in where your projections come out.
Me too. I'll let you know as soon as I know. You'll be the first to know.
Yeah, I'll be the first to know. Yeah, we'll send
before
those
you
out.
Calculate the points. I'll send them over to you.
But yeah. So now we talked about, you know, those three running backs or those three spot or that spot we'd like to be if we're doing the 3RB draft strategy. What mid round receivers are you going to be looking at then, and how early are you going to be taking a quarterback if you skip out on wide receiver that early?
So depending on which receivers I end up with, if I'm picking my receivers in the fourth round here, people that are available right there for me would be like Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson,
you thief,
Keenan Allen.
No, okay, that's where we differ. That's where
I mean, he's going to be available at that point.
Yeah, but do you want him?
No, but again, you're talking someone that has the opportunity to be your wide receiver, to be a wide receiver one this year that you possibly can pick up in the fourth round. It's a risk that you're going to want to take. It's not a sexy risk. It's not something you're like, oh, I'm so happy that Keenan Allen's my wide receiver one.
Oh, yeah.
But last year he didn't benefit very well in the beginning of the season. I think he didn't do very well in the touchdown stat line. And he kind of gave everyone a sour taste. He is an elite receiver.
Yeah, no, I agree there.
And he's someone that I could, you know, if you're picking him up in the fourth round, if you end up with a wide receiver, a top 20 wide receiver, you did pretty well.
My beef isn't with Keenan. It's with his quarterback.
And I think that whichever quarterback they go to, whether it's Tyrod or Justin, he's going to be their look. He's their best receiver on their team. That's going to be, you know, as much of a safety valve as Austin Eckler is going to be. I think that Keenan Allen is a possibility to be a good receiver. It, like, again, not a sexy pick. Not the one I'm happy to make. But hindsight, it'll probably be the best one for my team. Mm-hmm. And then fifth round, you know, you got Juju there in the fifth.
Coming back with Big Ben.
Exactly, coming back with Big Ben, competing with Deontay a little bit. Ebron's there.
I don't know if he's going to – I mean,
they're going to be sharing the field.
I mean, yeah.
Ebron's there.
Three receivers are going to be sharing the field, John.
Two one receiver sets.
You mean two receiver sets?
I mean, they have one receiver sets, three tight end.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. but they also have Ebron there too, who's another mouth to feed. But I do like Juju. He is someone I would be happy to take right now at the sixth round if I'm going this three running back strategy in the fifth round.
Yeah,
I'd take Juju. Robert Woods has dropped all the way down to the fifth round, which I think is insane. And also in the fifth round, you can find AJ Green.
Yeah, you know, AJ.
Again, he's not on my list. Pick. That's why he's the last one I mentioned here.
John's also using my list, by the way.
No, I guess we just, you know, we see who's available.
No, we got an eye for talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you have in the sixth?
So, I mean, you stole it. You stole him.
In the sixth? I only gave you my fifth.
I don't have anybody in the sixth.
You don't have anyone in the sixth?
No, I'm going. See, when I'm doing a,
you're going quarterback. No,
yeah,
I'm still not. I'm loading up my receivers. You can still find wide receiver one possibilities in the sixth round, and you're not finding those in the eighth.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm taking,
and that's why we differ.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So, and a couple other wide receivers that I am looking at late, similar to Antonio Gibson as the running back late, I'm looking at Preston Williams and Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder is probably one of the best late-round values. He's not a sexy pick. Not a sexy pick at all. I mean, it kind of makes me cringe. One, I don't like the Jets.
Where do you see the value in Jamison Crowder? I'm just curious.
Huh?
Where do you see the value in Jamison Crowder?
High floor.
Does he?
I mean, he's not. We're not talking 20 points a week, but we're talking 10 to 12. Eight. 10 to 12 points a week.
I mean, I know right now the Jets have him listed on their depth chart as their wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the addition of Perryman and Mims. I've watched Jamison Crowder. I don't see any talent as far as a high tier NFL caliber receiver. Obviously, these guys are much more talented than I've ever been or ever could dream to be, because there's no chance in hell I'm doing what they're doing.
I don't know, John. You look like a receiver. You could be a receiver.
I can run like 40 yards once in an hour.
What's your 40?
Probably when I ran it in high school, I think it was like a 6.7. A fat boy.
Seven.
Loved it. But, you know.
I don't know. Jamison Crowder got over 120 targets last year, and I think that he will get close to what he got last year. Rashad Perryman is a different receiver. He's going to be, you know, that deep threat, that fast, you know, kind of like the Robbie Anderson was. And then, again, to move on from Jamison is Preston.
Yeah. I like Preston. I think Preston and Devontae Parker. You have Devontae Parker going much earlier in the draft. Currently going at wide receiver. Sorry for that. probably the wide receiver in the wide receiver 50s. Sorry.
Hey, I picked him up with my last pick.
Yeah.
But him, wait, Devontae?
Devontae's actually going in the seventh.
Oh, you said Devontae.
In the seventh, eighth. So, yeah. But I believe that Devontae and Preston actually have but they actually have about the same opportunity in the offense. As much as it took Devontae to break out last year and have his, after 5 years, a great season towards the second half of it, Preston wasn't, got injured, got hurt. He was balling out. He was in that new rookie speed. Made AJ, he made AJ Brown kind of look bad for a few weeks.
Well, I mean, not only that, Preston's huge. I mean, he's 6'7". He's 6'5".
He's a monster.
I mean, massive, massive red zone target. Mm-hmm. So not only was he getting those yards, and, Ryan Fitzpatrick likes to throw the ball up, and that's one of the reasons why he was doing so good, I think. And hopefully, if Tua comes in, he can kind of feed him like he does there. But I think that he's going to score his touchdowns. And I think that's where you're going to get a lot of points and stuff like that. So those are our three strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little overviews. Pick what works for you best. Just because I don't like the zero RB doesn't mean you won't. Doesn't mean you won't put a championship team together. Just because John can't put a championship team together with any of them doesn't mean you can't. All right.
So something that you're also going to keep in mind is do a few mocks.
Tons.
Figure out where you're drafting from, even if you only have a couple hours, and just run a handful of them. See who you end up with. What do you like? Try both, all three strategies. Try incorporating the late quarterback strategy, like I like to, into either one of these, and see what kind of teams you get. You might end up finding that, wow, the zero RB, I love the team I ended up with. I did a heavy RB this morning at the eighth pick on a 12-man team, and it was insane. I don't have it up in front of me, but I know that I had Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, and then I get to my receivers, and I had DJ Moore. I had Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, and another one of my receivers that I had listed on here because I was so hot on them. But you can get a lot from it. But don't commit too hard to the strategy. If you are running the zero RB and everyone's picking up all the running backs, all of them, and there's still a lot of high tier receivers, if Michael Thomas drops to the second round, you pick him up.
Oh,
I'm just saying, if Tyreek Hill drops to the third because so many people are going RB heavy, you have the 3-1, you're taking Tyreek. So look at who's available. Understand that you have to fill every position. You can't go out there with no two receivers, no flex, or no tight end because you forgot to draft your tight end and you didn't pick anyone up on waivers. So
shame on you.
Yeah, pay attention. So just make sure that as you're going forward with the strategy, it's not make or break. You're either following the strategy or not doing it at all, because you want to make sure that your team's competitive at the end of it all.
Yep. Yep, that's the biggest thing, is competitive, winning those championships. Like John said in the intro, taking your friends' money.
Yeah, because the whole reason of this is, you don't play fantasy football unless you're a competitive person or unless you're really into stats. Sadly, it's a little bit of both for me. And so, the competition part is, I know I love texting someone after a game, especially if I do a pick'em or just regular bets, and I'm like, Hey,
buddy, give me your money.
When can we meet up?
Yeah.
Venmo
you
me
in
that
town
now.
This week?
What's your Cash App?
Yeah.
I'll request it now. And it just makes you, that just makes the rest of your football Sunday even better. And watching the games, knowing you have some money on them.
Yeah.
It can be fun.
Not even money. It doesn't have to be money.
No, you can be money.
Brag, actually, I would say dignity.
Bragging rights.
Is dignity. Taking your friends' dignity is a little bit better than taking their money.
Hmm.
So let's get into the beer of the day. It was a pretty good one. I liked it.
I'm really enjoying it. I'm kind of saving myself my last two sips because it's
that good.
Yeah.
It really, I really got that banana taste out of it, which is where, you know, obviously where they got the Gold Monkey from. But again, it is a Gold Monkey by Victory Brewing. They're from Downington, Pennsylvania. You know, I've always thought northern states have such better town names than us.
Yeah, everything around
Downington.
Downingtown. Citrus or
yeah, Sebastian. Vero Beach.
West Palm Beach.
Okeechobee. I mean, that's a pretty Deerfield cool. That's Beach. A pretty cool Boynton one. Okeechobee Beach. Is pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of beaches. Miami Beach. Okay.
But yeah, anyways, yeah. Before we get carried away, it's from Downingtown. I think I'm saying it right. Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Really, really good beer. Great brewery. I've never been, but for looking at all the beers they sell and make, gotta check them out. They have 4 tap rooms, one in Downingtown, one in Kennett Square, another cool name, yeah. Pennsylvania. That's in Pennsylvania as well. Parksburg, Pennsylvania, and then in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go to their website. That is victorybeer.com. You can go to each tap room. And they'll kind of give you their guidelines on COVID right now, whether they're taking reservations, whether they're closed. Check them out. It is a they have great beer. I mean, if all the rest of their beers are as good as this one, I mean, I'm booking a flight as soon as COVID's over.
Yeah, when you told me we were drinking this, I looked it up and started looking at some of the other ones they make, and there's probably about 2 or 3 more you guys are going to end up seeing. So
oh yeah.
Sure. There's 2, I'm not going to name them yet right now, but there's 2 that I'm really interested to try and I want to actually get to as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Whether we put it on show or not.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
The one we're drinking today, the Golden Monkey is actually, it's a 9.5% alcohol. So it definitely hits you a little harder than your average, you know, American light beer. The IBUs sitting there at 25, you know, that's out of 100. So it's on the lower end of, but it's not water. You're gonna find it to be a little stiffer than you would your American beer, like your Bud Light or your.
But it's not too strong.
No, it doesn't.
Like, not ABV wise, but I'm saying like taste wise.
You know, it definitely has a nice little citrusy kind of crispness and smoothness at the end of it. But it definitely dries your palate out at the end, but not to where it's like a winey dry.
Right.
But it
I feel that
you don't feel like slobbery after you take your sip.
Right.
But the hints of banana. Easily picked up.
Love it.
I mean, they wouldn't have the monkey in there any other reason. But it's made from it's a Pilsner malt. It's made from Trappist yeast, which gives it a really, really golden color. I know we don't have it in a glass right now for anyone that's actually watching on YouTube. But it's when you poured it in a glass, because we had a glass before we actually filmed this, just to get our initial taste down. But it's super golden, just like the name suggests. There's no monkeys floating in it. It's a big surprise.
That'd be kind of cool.
It would be some sea
like
monkeys.
Golden flakes of monkeys.
okay.
Yeah.
We'll hit them up with some ideas. But, and it does finish off with, again, the banana and the clove flavor. It says they have added spice inside, but it's super light on the spiciness. It's flavorful, but again,
very flavorful.
Doesn't have a lot of kick at the end, and it smooths out really well.
Yeah. And you could definitely drink one too many of these. I'd be careful because, like we said, it is ABV9, and I've got, you know, Kind of feeling a little bit, but I think it's definitely a great beer. The can is really dope. It's got this little monkey. You probably can't see it, but like the hear no evil, see no evil, talk no evil with a little eye in the middle of his stomach. So pretty dope can art, and definitely pick it up. Oh, on their website, they do have a beer locator. So all you do is go to beers, click on the beer you want, and then right below that, a couple scrolls down, it'll say find it. Type in your area code or zip code, and you will be able to find the nearest store near you. Another cool thing about it is it's not a seasonal beer. It's sold year-round.
Yeah, this is one of those big brews, like we were saying, that's going to be all around. You can find it online, get it to you very quick, or even a store near you, like you were saying, on that beer locator.
Yeah.
But please do remember that, you know, you got to be 21 to drink. Drink responsibly.
Yep.
If you're not, wait until you are. And thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to send us your beer recommendations in at thefantasytap@gmail.com. You can also send it to @thefantasytap on Instagram, @thefantasytap on Twitter. Also, of course, send us your fantasy football questions. John?
Yeah, fantasy football advice, any questions, you guys need any trade questions. We are looking for viewer questions that we might be able to read on air. If you guys have anything for us, rankings, buy or sell.
All of it. All the fantasy questions. We're here to answer those for you.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Love you.